All right, so get ready because today we are going deep into a world of glitz and glamour, but also a ton of psychological suspense.
Ooh, sounds intriguing.
It is. We're talking about the latest novel by Sash Bischoff. It's called Sweet Fury.
Okay, I've heard some buzz about this one.
Yeah, and you know we're not going to spoil anything for you listeners.
Right, just a little taste test.
Yeah, to see if you want the whole meal.
Exactly.
So right away in the author's note, Bischoff drops a big clue. Like a huge one.
Okay, I'm all ears.
They were really inspired by F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Interesting.
And they've even hidden these little references to his books throughout Sweet Fury.
Like little Easter eggs.
Yeah, almost like a secret code for, for like readers who were in the know.
I like that.
And to add even more to that, the book is actually dedicated partly to Fitzgerald's legacy.
So clearly there's a connection
A
there.
big one that we need to unpack.
Yeah, makes you wonder, what kind of conversation Sweet Fury is having with Fitzgerald's work and themes.
Exactly. And that's what we're going to dive into.
I can't wait.
All right. So now let's bring in our main character, Leela Crane.
Okay.
She's like a super famous actress, A-list.
Oh, wow.
And she's getting ready to film a feminist reimagining of Tender is the Night, which, if you know your Fitzgerald, is a
A
classic.
classic?
So
Yeah.
here's where things get a little juicy.
Okay.
To get ready for this role, Leela starts seeing a therapist.
Makes sense. Actors often do that to get into character.
Yeah, but this therapist, Jonah Gabriel, he specializes in trauma, specifically trauma related to domestic violence.
Okay, now that is interesting.
Right. So that begs the question, why does she need that specific kind of therapist?
Exactly.
Well, it turns out she's blocked out this super important memory from her childhood.
Okay.
The night that her father died in a car accident when she was only 9.
Wow, that's heavy stuff.
It is. And, as readers, we're immediately hooked because will she remember? What happens if she does?
And as a therapist, I can tell you that repressing a memory like that can be a huge roadblock to healing.
Absolutely. So Jonah, being a good therapist, decides to try hypnosis.
To help her unlock those memories.
Exactly. And little by little, pieces start to resurface for Leela, like the feel of rain, the smell of takeout food,
Interesting.
even her mother's perfume.
Those sensory details, those can be so powerful, especially with trauma.
You really can. It's like watching a puzzle come together piece by piece.
Absolutely, it really highlights the whole therapeutic process.
For sure. So we've got Leela, this glamorous actress with this hidden past, and Jonah, the therapist, trying to help her face her demons.
Right.
But wait, there's a twist.
Oh, I love a good twist.
Jonah has a secret of his own.
Okay.
And it has something to do with, you guessed it, F. Scott Fitzgerald.
I knew it. This Fitzgerald thing runs deep.
It does. So Jonah had a little bit of a rough childhood, and he found comfort, escape, in Fitzgerald's novels.
I can see that Fitzgerald's work can be very immersive.
Yeah. And he was especially drawn to this idea of the lost generation.
Those disillusioned souls after the war searching for meaning.
Exactly. And get this, while Jonah was at Princeton, he was almost obsessed with being just like Fitzgerald.
Wow, really?
He even joined, wait for it, the same eating club and secret society that Fitzgerald belonged to.
Okay, now that's a little, I don't know. It's one thing to admire someone, but to try and replicate their whole life.
Right. It makes you question his motivations. Like, who is Jonah really trying to be?
Exactly. It's a bit like an identity crisis, maybe.
Maybe. And speaking of identity, there's one more piece to this Fitzgerald puzzle that I think you'll find fascinating.
Am I on the edge of my seat?
While at Princeton, Jonah developed a bit of an, let's call it an attachment, to Leela, who also happened to be a student there.
Oh, wow. So he knew her back then.
He did. And attachment might be putting it mildly. He would observe her from afar, keep tabs on her movements, her activities.
That's a little stalkerish, isn't it?
It is a little bit, yeah. And that's what makes it so interesting. It hinted this, like darker side to Jonah, makes you question his intentions.
Definitely raises some red flags.
For sure. Okay, so fast forward to present day. Jonah's a successful therapist. He's engaged to his fiancée, Maggie.
Seems like he's got it all figured out.
You'd think, right? But guess what? His fascination with Leela, it comes roaring back.
Oh no.
He sees her in this film, Waiting Game,
Yeah.
and it's like she's a ghost from his past, reawakening those feelings.
That can be so dangerous, especially for a therapist. You're supposed to maintain those professional boundaries.
Exactly. And just to make things even more messy, Leela's been keeping a secret diary.
A diary. Juicy.
Oh, yeah. and it's addressed to Jonah himself.
Whoa, hold on. This is getting good. What's she writing in this diary?
Well, she confesses her growing attraction to Jonah. Mm-hmm. And get this, she reveals how unhappy she is with Kurt, who we know has a violent streak.
Oh, no. That's a recipe for disaster. You've got a therapist with a past obsession and a patient seeking solace. And maybe something more.
And that's exactly what happens. Leela reaches out to Jonah for help after Kurt becomes violent.
This is bad, right? Ethically, this is a huge dilemma for Jonah.
Huge. Does he stick to his professional ethics? Or does he give in to his feelings for Leela?
I'm guessing he doesn't make the best choice here.
You guessed it. He chooses Leela. He takes her to this secret pied-à-terre. Mm-hmm. You know, a place that's totally off the grid.
This is going to have consequences. I can feel it.
Oh, it will. Not just for his relationship with Maggie, but for his whole career.
This is a major ethical violation.
Major. And as you can imagine, things between Leela and Jonah, they become more than just professional.
Oh, boy. Forbidden love. Classic. Yeah. But also very dangerous in this situation.
It is. So now remember Maggie, Jonah's fiance. She's not stupid. She finds Leela's patient file.
Uh-oh.
And she starts noticing some inconsistencies in her stories.
Like things aren't adding up.
Exactly. And she even warns Jonah. She's like, hey, this Leela, she might not be who she says she is.
But Jonah, he's probably blinded by his feelings, right?
Totally. He dismisses Maggie's concerns. And then things go from bad to worse. Jonah gets this text from Leela saying Kurt's with her. And she's terrified.
That's scary. But it also makes you wonder, is this real? Or is Leela manipulating him again?
Great question. And you know Jonah, driven by fear, by love, he rushes to Leela's aid.
This can't end well.
It doesn't. It leads to this tense confrontation with Kurt at Leela's apartment.
Oh man, this is intense.
It is. And in a moment of panic, Jonah does something he never thought he would do. He stabs and kills Kurt to protect Leela.
Whoa, talk about a twist. What happens next?
Well, that's where we leave off for now.
Oh, come on. You can't leave us hanging like that.
You'll have to tune into part two to find out what happens next.
Oh, fine. But I'm counting down the minutes. Okay, so last time we left off with a literal bang, like murder, right?
A major cliffhanger. So one of the things that I find really captivating about this book is how Bischoff jumps between different times, you know, past and present.
And from different points of view, too.
Right. It's not just chronological storytelling. It's like putting together a puzzle.
And that's what makes it so interesting. Like, as a reader, you're constantly trying to figure out what's really going on.
Exactly. And speaking of mysteries.
Oh, here we go.
Remember how we were a little suspicious of Leela?
Yeah, there were some red flags for sure.
Well, let's just say those suspicions, they grow even stronger as we get deeper into the story.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
And a big part of that is Leela's secret diary.
Oh, yeah, the one she's writing to Jonah.
Right. And it gives us, the reader, this inside look into her thoughts, her feelings, her plans even.
Which is something that Jonah and the other characters don't have access to.
Right. It's like we have this secret knowledge.
Creates a lot of dramatic tension, you know.
It really does. And Leela's diary entries, man, they're a wild ride.
What do you mean?
One minute she's pouring her heart out to Jonah, like confessing her love.
Okay.
The next she's talking about how she needs to get away from Kurt. And then she'll be reminiscing about her childhood, dropping these hints about her mom's past.
So it's all over the place.
Kind of, but it's done in a way that you can't stop reading. It makes you question, like, how much of what we're seeing from Leela is real?
And how much is an act? Right, because she is an actress after all.
Exactly. And here's another detail I think adds to that whole mystery.
Okay, hit me with it.
Remember how Jonah was obsessed with Leela back in their Princeton days?
Oh, yeah, that whole stalker vibe.
All right.
Well,
there's this scene where he's at this Gatsby-themed party at his eating club. And guess who shows up?
Leela.
Leela. And get this. She's the only one at this whole party wearing a colored mask. Everyone else, including Jonah, is in white.
Whoa, that's a powerful image. Like, she's set apart.
It is. And, you know, it plays into this theme of hidden identities that runs through the whole book.
It's like she's this mysterious figure, both alluring and a little dangerous.
Exactly. And they end up having this intense encounter at the party. Jonah, you know, hidden behind his white mask.
Yeah.
He leads Leela through the crowd, away from prying eyes, up this secret staircase to a hidden room.
Oh, wow. Sounds like something out of a Fitzgerald novel itself.
Right. All very symbolic. And it almost feels inevitable, like their paths were meant to cross, which, you know, just adds to the whole sense of, like, are they going to end up together? Is this fate.
And are they supposed to be together? That's the big question.
Right. And remember how Jonah promised Leela he would break up with Maggie?
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Well, he actually does it. It's a really sad scene, but it shows just how far gone he is for Leela. Like, he's willing to risk everything for her.
Even his own happiness.
It seems like it. And Maggie, poor Maggie, she sees the red flags from the beginning.
Yeah, she found Leela's patient file.
Right, she did. She noticed those inconsistencies, warned Jonah that Leela might not be trustworthy.
But Jonah didn't listen.
He didn't. And then comes that text message from Leela saying Kurt is with her and she's afraid.
Okay, so that's what sends Jonah racing over to her place.
It does. It's like everything changes in that moment.
Yeah. And we're left wondering, is Leela really in trouble or is she setting a trap?
Right. And that question just hangs over the whole scene. It's so intense. Jonah goes to Leela's apartment and there's Kurt.
Uh-oh.
Showdown time. It is. And the tension is like you can feel it radiating off the page.
So what happens? Does Jonah try to reason with Kurt?
He does, but Kurt's not having it. He's enraged. And Jonah, you know, in this moment of trying to protect Leela, he stabs and kills Kurt.
Oh my God. So it's actually Leela who ends up unharmed.
Yeah. And it's so brutal, so shocking. But what's even more disturbing is that Jonah justifies it. Like, he convinces himself he had no other choice.
That's terrifying. He's completely lost in this delusion.
He is. But here's the thing. Leela's reaction to Kurt's death, it's not what Jonah expects at all.
What do you mean?
She's horrified, distraught. She even accuses Jonah of murder.
Whoa, hold on. So she's playing the victim now.
It seems that way. It's like this mask she's been wearing, it finally slips, and we see this cold, calculating side to her.
So everything we thought we knew about Leela, maybe it was all a lie.
That's the question, right? And just when you think it can't get any more twisted.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. Celia Scott, the actress playing Rosemary in the Tenders the Night adaptation. She enters the picture. And let me tell you, she has her own story to tell.
Okay, so where were we? Oh, yeah, Celia was spilling the tea about Leela.
Yeah, accusing her of pretty much orchestrating Kurt's death and setting Jonah up to take the fall. But you know what? It gets even crazier.
Oh, there's more.
Oh, yeah. This is where Bischoff takes us back to Leela's childhood. We start to really understand her relationship with her parents, especially her dad.
Who we know is abusive.
Exactly. And then, boom, another bombshell. We find out that Leela's mom, driven by her husband's abuse and desperation, she's the one who caused that car crash. The one that killed her husband.
Whoa, hold on. So Leela's mom, basically, she ended her husband's life.
Yeah. It's like this huge secret that's been buried all this time.
That changes everything. It explains so much about Leela. Her distrust of men, her need for control, her ambition.
It's like all her actions, even the really messed up ones, they're all driven by this need to protect herself. To avoid ending up like her mother.
To break the cycle of abuse.
Exactly.
Oh.
And it just adds so much depth to her character. Like, is she a victim? A manipulator, or both? It's really blurry.
Totally. It makes you question everything you thought you knew about her.
And remember that pied-à-terre where Leela took Jonah?
Yeah, the secret hideaway.
Well, it turns out she's been using it to create a shrine to her mother. Photos, mementos, the whole thing.
Wow, so she's trying to rewrite history to give her mom this idealized version of her life. A happy ending.
Yeah, and maybe she's trying to reclaim her own story in the process. To break free from all that trauma.
But at what cost? Right. I mean, she's manipulating people, hurting people to get what she wants.
Right. And the way she does it is so clever. She uses her acting skills to create these different personas. You never know what's real with her and what's an act.
So she's basically directing her own life like it's a movie. And Jonah and Celia, they're just pawns in her game.
It's kind of brilliant in a twisted way.
Yeah.
And that film adaptation of Tender is the Night, it's not just a job for her. It becomes this metaphor for her own life.
Yeah, so?
She's trying to reimagine the story, give the female character more agency, more power. But at the same time, she's kind of mirroring the male character, Dick Diver.
Who spirals out of control.
Yeah. Leela's obsession with control, her willingness to manipulate, even to resort to violence, it's all there. And that's where the connection to Fitzgerald, it goes beyond just inspiration.
It's a commentary on his work. A critique of the American dream, the dark side of ambition.
Exactly. Okay, so without giving away the ending.
Just a little hint.
All right. Let's just say that Leela's plans, they start to unravel. And she has to face the consequences of her actions. But even then, there's this sense that she hasn't really learned her lesson. It's a bit unsettling.
Wow. So it's not a typical happy ending.
Not really. It leaves you thinking about, you know, truth, justice, redemption. Is any of it possible? It's not an easy answer.
Sounds like a book that stays with you long after you finish it.
It definitely does. So I think what we can take away from all this, from Sweet Fury, is that obsession can be incredibly powerful and dangerous.
And that the past, it can shape us in ways we don't even realize, even if we try to run from it.
For sure. And that appearances can be deceiving. The people who seem the most charming, the most alluring, they might be the ones hiding the darkest secrets.
So the big question, should our listeners check this book out?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you want a wild ride, a story that will make you think, make you question everything, then yeah, read Sweet Fury. It's a dark, twisted tale, but it's so well done, so thought-provoking.
And a great example of how authors can use classic literature to explore modern issues.
Totally. And with that, I think we're going to wrap up our deep dive into Sweet Fury. Thanks for joining us on this crazy journey.
Until next time, keep those pages turning.